بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to ask a very apparently simple but a very basic and fundamental and a very critical question, which is, what does my Islam mean to me? What does my Islam mean to me? What is the value of being a Muslim? Seriously, we have to sit and ask this question. What is the value that I have for being a Muslim? Especially those of us who are born into Islam, maybe people who came into Islam, they can answer it better. And that's why I think it is important for everyone to actually come into Islam. Islam is not a matter of being, Islam is not a race, it's not a matter of genetics, it's not a tribe or a family. Islam is a matter of belief. Who is a Muslim? The one who accepts Islam, not somebody who was born in a Muslim home, somebody who was born in with an Arabic name. All the Christian Arabs also have Arabic names. So just because your name is Saad or Muad or something doesn't mean that you are Muslim. It just means you are Arab or you have an Arabic name. Similarly, Farsi names. In India, all our Parsi friends, they have so-called Muslim names. Right? A good friend of mine, Jahangir Ghadiali, his name is Jahangir. So, Naushad, Naushir, I mean, all of these are so-called Muslims. They are not Muslims. They are Farsi names. So, just because you have a name which is in Farsi or Urdu or Arabic or some other language doesn't make you a Muslim, right? What makes you and me a Muslim is actually accepting Islam. I don't mean going and, sitting in a masjid and accepting Islam, saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, taking Shahada before an imam. I don't mean the formality of it. I'm saying consciously accepting that Islam is my religion, I'm a Muslim. Now, I think this is very important for us to, for every single one of us to do, whether we were born Muslims or not. So, in my view, the term born Muslim itself is wrong, because you can't be born a Muslim. You can only accept Islam. You can't be born a Muslim. You're born a human being. You're born an Indian. You're born an American. You're born an African or whatever. You can't be born a Muslim. You can only be born into a race, right? So, having said that, therefore, ask this question and say, what does Islam mean to me? Does it just mean a bunch of rituals? Islam means that I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Most people define Islam by the number of things they can't do. That's the definition of Islam, right? It's like a friend of mine who said that in our country, an honest officer is defined by the number of things he or she does not do. He does not take a bribe, he does not womanize, he does not drink alcohol, he does not misuse authority. So this person says, "Wo karta kya hai?" He said, what does he do? I mean, you are defining him the whole time by, he does not do this, does not do this. Oh, that's okay, that's good. I mean, we are not saying do these things. We are saying, what do you actually do? So, what's your definition by what you don't do? So, if for a Muslim, what's the definition? By what I can't do? I can't go here, I can't go there, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, and I can't meet this one, I can't meet that one. What exactly is Islam? Seriously, we have to sit and ask ourselves this question and say, what does Islam mean to me? Because unless we see value in our own religion, we are not going to practice it. We are going to practice it the way we practice it, which is like, when I have the time, I'll do it. When I'm free, I'll do it. When it's convenient, I'll do it. When nobody else is, targeting me for it, I will do it. This is not practice, this is not Islam. What kind of thing is that? I mean, why bother at all? So, therefore, we have to consciously ask this question, what does Islam mean to me? What did Islam mean to Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha? It meant something to her, right? It meant enough for her to pay the price for it. The Sahaba, they valued Islam enough to pay a price for it. My question I have to ask myself is, what is the price I am paying for Islam? In my case, it's zero. I mean, not only is it zero, it's the other way around. Because I am Muslim, because I speak about Islam, people give me so much of love and affection and honor and so on. I know I don't deserve that. I've never said I deserve it. I know I do not deserve it. So what is my taklif in being a Muslim? What's my so-called, within quote, sacrifice? What is my investment? Nothing. Zero. I mean, I'm on the negative side. I mean, not only is it zero, I'm getting, you know, alhamdulillah, I'm not complaining about that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase that. I've got no problem with getting honor and love and affection. But I'm saying that this was not the situation with the Sahaba. The Sahaba got grief for it. The Sahaba were troubled for it. The Sahaba were tortured for it. The Sahaba were beaten. They were killed and all kinds of things. Yet they did not give up their Islam. Now, we are weak, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not test us like that. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for His mercy and grace. But I'm saying that seriously, we have to ask this question, what does Islam mean to me? As I told you, Sumayya bin Khayyat radiallahu anha, her husband, Abu Yasir, Yasir Abu Ammar radiallahu anhu, he saw his wife being killed before his eyes by Abu Jahl. And then Abu Jahl told him, recant, leave Islam. He said, I will not do it. So Abu Jahl ordered him to be ripped apart. They tied a horse each to his four limbs, to his arms and to his hands and his legs. Now, all of this did not happen in a split second, right? I mean, it was happening. They put him on the ground, they tied the horses and so on and so forth. At any point in that entire process, he could have recanted and Abu Jahl would have left him. His son Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu recanted. He saw this happening to both his parents. He said, okay, I'm out of Islam, I'm not in Islam. Later on, he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, this was the situation, I was beaten, I was tortured, I saw all this happening, I could not, sustain that, so I told Abu Jahl that I have left Islam, what is my situation? Am I still a Muslim? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you said that, what was in your heart? He said, Allah knows, Islam was in my heart, I did not leave Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are on Islam. This is a special mercy. I'm not denying that. I'm saying the same option was available to his father. Why didn't he take it? He chose to be, can you imagine, ripped apart literally, and you don't die instantly. If your arms and legs are pulled off, you don't die instantly. You take a long time to die in excruciating agony. Why did they choose? And there are, I can tell you a list of Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, not one of them, many, many of them. And the Tabi'in, and the Tabi'in, all the Salafus Salihin, any number of such incidents. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Rahmatullah alayhi, at the age of 80 plus, he was whipped and beaten. He was called into the court of the Khalifa. The Khalifa kicked him on his chest. And he fell down. Then he ordered him to be whipped. Why? Because he refused to say that the Quran is makhluk. He got whipped to the extent where a lump of flesh came out of his back. They say they used to dress it, the whole hand would go inside. Then some of the advisors of the Khalifa, they told him, if this man dies here, then your throne is gone. The people are going to revolt and there will be a revolution, they will kill you. So he ordered the whipping to be stopped and he was thrown into prison. He was in the prison for a long time. One of his friends, who was also a mufti and also an alim, but he was close to the king, so he was in favor of the king. He came to him, he said, look, why don't you accept this? Why don't you say what the Khalifa wants you to say? Which is to say that the Quran is makhluk. And later on, once you go back to Madinah and so on, recant, then you take back your, make ruju, take back your fatwa. I say, no, I was forced to say that, I did not mean it. Imam Ahmad told him, come here, he took him to the window. There was a massive crowd of people just sitting there. They knew Imam Ahmad was in prison. They were staying there. He said, what will they say? He said, these are the witnesses before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If even I say this, he said, I know I can make ruju, but if I say this, what will I answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are people who paid a price for their deen. These are people to whom their deen meant something. And so they paid a price for it. And my question to myself is, Alhamdulillah, bismillahi ta'ala, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and grace that He does not test us, He does not demand the price should be paid. But for ourselves, in order to really benefit from Islam, in order to do what we need to do for Islam, we need to know what does my Islam mean to me. And so I want to remind myself and you, let us do that. Let us sit down today, take a piece of paper and sit and write and say, this is what my Islam means to me. Again, not in terms of do's and don'ts. The value of it. What is the value of Islam? Don't say my Islam means I have to pray five times. No. What is the value of Islam? And ask yourself, what is the price that I am willing to pay? Allah gave me this for free. But tomorrow if Allah says pay for this, what am I willing to pay? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to enable us to appreciate what He has given us and to live with that, with confidence and with the value of it in our hearts so that we get the real benefit of this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.